Hello, and welcome to Open Door Playhouse, a theater podcast that celebrates live theater on the podcast stage. I'm Rachel Burney Needleman. At Open Door Playhouse, we strive to bring our listeners thoughtful and surprising 10-minute shorts and one-act plays that showcase insightful and new perspectives of the world we share with others. Open Door Playhouse is a 501c3 theater organization. Support for Open Door Playhouse comes from listeners like you. Your tax-deductible donations help keep our plays on the podcast stage. Donations can be made at www.opendoorplayhouse.org. Now playing in Theater 114 is Switchboard Soldier, written by Dana Hall, directed by Rachel Burney Needleman, and starring Tanya Verifield as Miss Banker, Omari Williams and J.C. Porter as the reporters, and Felipe Figueroa as the soldier.
Hear the tramp of their feet as they come down the street. Gee, those girlies look sweet, they're all dressed up so neat. Your dear old ma just took a fighter's place. She likes the smell of powder, cause it's always on her face. There's no rats in her hair, you can see she don't care. Holds her head in the air, she, your mother's a bear. Tramp, 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 the girls are marching. Your mother's gone away to join the army.
How did you win your decoration, Miss Banker?
What was your most thrilling experience at the front?
We're here today to ask you a few questions. You were personally decorated by Lieutenant General Hunter Liggett, is that correct?
Yes. I suppose I won the citation just for being where I was wanted and staying there and doing the work. Why, really, it doesn't seem to me I did anything worth telling about.
You were awarded the Distinguished Service Medal, an honor given to no other American woman in France.
J'ai fait mon travail. Don't try and make me a heroine.
Esther V. Fresnel reports that you were under shell fire. Bertha M. Hunt tells us you were in danger from the airplanes during the bombing raids.
What's your question, madam?
We're trying to get at how you managed under these conditions, with bombing and shell fire threatening.
Yes, tell us, how did you manage to operate the switchboards, memorize the codes, and translate French correspondence?
I wasn't aware the weather called for bombing or shelling today. Come now, the war is fought. Yes, bombs did drop near us sometimes, but think of the girls in Paris who were menaced by the long-distance gun and who might expect a bomb any moonlit night.
That may be so, but it was your tireless leadership that did much to assure the success of the phone system during operations against the Saint-Mihiel salient.
I did nothing alone, dear.
Then do tell us about the Hello Girls.
You mean the women of the Signal Corps Female Telephone Operators Unit. They despise Hello Girls, as they should, being that they were more than telephone operators, but enlisted service members. In Paris, it took 40 to 60 seconds to complete a telephone call. My soldiers could do it in 10 seconds flat.
In those calls, besides exchanges about supplies, is it true that your girls played a vital role in military operations?
I'll kindly remind you, we took an oath just like any man, which I intend to uphold.
It's been reported French troops had set out to take back the salient, a strategic outpost occupied by the Germans. And for days, you and those under your supervision commanded the switchboards connecting calls around the clock.
Yes, my girls worked like animals, with their gas masks and helmets slung over their chairs, and we never enjoyed anything more.
Many of the Corps members did not see the front line, but you did?
I learned to shoot a pistol. Not half bad, if I may say so.
Did you have to use it?
Don't tempt a demonstration now. Watch yourself, monsieur.
You must have been well-trained. As one of six women to serve alongside General Pershing and Chaumont, surely you have some recollections, some tales of the front lines.
I'm not here to sell newspapers. I had a brother in the 4th Division, and when I think about what those men in the trenches went through, I hardly feel worthy of mention.
What were your conditions?
Our conditions? Well, the six soldiers with me lived in primitive fashion while up at the front. In Chaumont, we were quartered together in a small loft with the army. Part of the time, we slept in a barn. The French barracks had no comforts but a wash basin. I tried to give the girls an 8-hour day, but it was near impossible. Instructions were going on in every direction from headquarters. We worked twice as long, sometimes 12 hours straight or more, always on call, using these old-fashioned French apparatus. We sat on packing boxes, if lucky. When there was the word of air raids, men removed our boards from the barracks to bomb-proof shelters where we plugged in by candlelight.
It sounds like the men worked side by side with the Corps.
They respected our nerve and patience. We got the job done. Once a German prisoner of war kicked over an oil stove, it set our barrack on fire. It went up fast with dark smoke. The soldiers ran in to save what they could. I remember one trying to pull me from my station, but we stayed on. We were still connecting as they dumped water on the roof. The smoke was something awful.
You didn't evacuate?
Listen, if communication goes down, the army collapses. We were there to do a job. We did heed high commands for fear of court-martial, but did not lose but a 30-minute connection to headquarters. There were lives out there, lives like my brother's, and I wasn't about to let them down.
Sounds like the tension was high.
At times, yes. But on the nights when the lines were calm, we'd get calls from the trenches. You see, most switchboards back home in the States were run by women. When you wanted to make a call to your mother, your girl, you'd hear the voice of an operator. Hello, number, please. The soldiers in the trenches were worried about the flu, raids, surviving no man's land. How the mind wanders when you're stuck between boredom and terror. So they'd call in, just to remind themselves of home, what they were fighting for. I remember this one call.
Hello?
You're connected.
Yes. Can you talk?
The line is open. Where shall I direct this call?
Well, can I just talk a bit instead?
Sure. Soldier, who am I speaking with?
I'd rather not say. You see, I lied. I lied about my age. I'm 17 years old from Newark.
New Jersey.
Yes, ma'am.
I'm from up the road in Passaic.
Oh, I thought I heard Jersey in your voice. I hear you telephone girls all speak French.
Oui, oui.
Nice. Le poilu. Did I say that right? I think they're called that because the French are a hairy lot.
Pretty good. And I was a French major, so I should know.
Oh. My parents wanted me to apply to university. School's not for me. So I enlisted.
What did your parents say?
My parents wrote letters when they found out what I had done. The army says I'm fit for service, so they ain't sending me back.
You're brave, soldier. The tide is turning. Hang in there.
I've seen pictures from back home. Some of these guys got families. Johnny's got a kid on the way. I gotta tell you, night is the worst. Your brain gets to thinking. I woke up and thought I smelled my mama's biscuits. I'll be damned if it's not a rotting sandbag and gunpowder. Well, mama wasn't much of a cook, but Lord, what I'd give for a home cooking meal. Can you hear me? There's some shots making it hard to hear.
I hear you, soldier. I'm right here.
I'm sorry I picked up the phone.
Don't be. We're here to connect the lines. We're always here.
I don't think I'm going home. Can I ask your name?
Grace.
That's mighty fitting. I'll call you Amazing Grace.
You're gonna make it home, soldier.
It's not like they said. There ain't no cushy trenches.
Pardon?
The battalion we relieved had several casualties. These trenches are booby-trapped. They found a full rum jar when they uncorked it. It exploded. They say the Germans are attacking now at night, taking over trenches. I can't sleep. I close my eyes, but all I see is the Huns with bayonets fixed to their rifles with my name on it. I can't do this. I want to go home.
Soldier, stay with me. Look up at that sky. It's the same one I see. It's the same sky hanging over Newark. You just look up there and remember home. We're going home.
wanted to remember what home felt like. Thank you.
What a sacrifice you've made.
Every night, they thought it could be their last. The sacrifice wasn't ours, and if you were to ask every girl in my party about her hardships, I know each would answer that she had nothing worth mentioning.
All the same, the peace treaty must have been a relief.
I remember it well. The armistice was signed November 11th, the 11th day, the 11th hour. All fighting was ordered to be ceased at that time. Our core lines were in bad condition, and poor Captain Beaumont of the telegraph office was having a terrible time.
I suppose the message didn't get through all right.
It must get through. If not by telegraphs, then by telephone. So we put him through on our lines, and he used my telephone. He yelled the message out. It had to get through, and it did.
Can we see your well-earned medal?
May 22nd. 1919, standing with my fellow officers and enlisted men in Koblenz. We were given this honor, not I. Put this down in your paper correctly. This medal belongs to the devoted group of First Army girls. Suzanne Prevost, Bertha Hunt, Adele Hoppick, Esther Fresnel, Helen Hill, and Marie Lang. Now, if you'll excuse, feel free to show yourselves out. Civilian life calls.
She hung up on us in her own house. What an interview.
Indeed. Remarkable.
I dare say if she'd been captured, I don't believe there was any form of German frightfulness which would have made her tell what she chose not to tell.
Loyal to the core. And for what? For a country that gives her no say? No vote? She has to know what her service has done for us. How it could mean President Wilson having a change of heart about women voting.
Careful now. We were to report on Miss Banker. Nothing else. You'll get both of us fired.
Of course. Just give me a moment to freshen up, will you?
Sure. I'll be in the car. Oh, and when you talk to her, off the record, just remember, she represents the army and not any cause. For your sake, I hope she holstered that pistol.
Our plays are produced by Bernadette Armstrong, recorded at Oak House Studio in Altadena, California, mixed and designed by our talented sound engineer, David Peters. Post-production sound effects are provided by Audio Jungle and music from Karaoke Version. If you are interested in submitting a play for production, you can find that information on our website, www.opendoorplayhouse.org, as well. Please share this podcast with friends, and don't forget to subscribe so you will be notified when our next production is live.